Good morning. Let's open our Bibles to Titus chapter 1. Paul, a bondservant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ for the faith of those chosen of God and the knowledge of the truth which is according to godliness, and the hope of eternal life which God, who cannot lie, promised long ages ago, but at the proper time manifested even his word in the proclamation with which I was entrusted, according to the commandment of God our Savior. To Titus, my true child in a common faith, grace and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Savior. For this reason I left you in Crete, that you would set in order what remains and appoint elders in every city as I directed you. Namely, if any man is above reproach, the husband of one wife, having children who believe, not accused of dispensation or rebellion, for the overseer must be above reproach as God's steward, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not addicted to wine, not pungencies, not fond of sordid gain, but hospitable, loving, what is good, sensible, just, devout, self-controlled, holding fast the faithful word which is in accordance with the teaching, so that he will be able to both to exhort in sound doctrine and to refute those who contradict. For there are many rebellious men, empty talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision, who must be silenced because they are upsetting whole families, teaching things that they should not teach for the sake of sordid gain. One of themselves, a prophet of their own, said, Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. Just a side note, that's actually a quote from a poem. This testimony is true. For this reason, reprove them severely so that they may be sound in the faith, not paying attention to Jewish myths and commandments of men who turn away from the truth. To the pure, all things are pure, but those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure, but both their mind and their conscience are defiled. They profess to know God, but by their deeds they deny him, being detestable and disobedient and worthless for any good deed. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for today. We thank you for a chance to come and hear your word. Lord, to come together as a community of believers. Father God, we just pray that your spirit will just rest in this place, God. Lord, that this place will be known for worship and praise and prayer, Lord. And we just ask your Holy Spirit come and guide me and that we can just hear your word today. In your name we pray. Amen. So when we're looking at this passage, one of the things that it's all about is leadership, right? And we have to think about what is good leadership. One of the things when I'm choosing a leader that will make me stop in my tracks every single time is if the person wants to be a leader. Something about me cannot choose somebody who wants it. I'm not saying that's right or wrong, but something that I have noticed about myself when I've chosen new house church leaders, or even in Noah's Ark, I've chosen a leadership there, or when I was a teacher and I would choose student leaders, I would never choose the person who desired it. Every one of my captains for basketball, when I coached basketball, it would have been somebody who was, yeah, they were definitely leaders, but when asked to be like, me, why me? And there's something about that I'm not sure if it's because that's how I, every time I've been put into leadership, that's been my reaction. And so I'm looking for that in other people. But this morning on the taxi ride, I decided to look up some quotes on Christian leadership. And this guy, Jack Hiles, and honestly, you can look anything up to back up your ideas. The internet has somebody out there that will agree with you. But this guy named Jack Hiles does that for me. He says, nobody is fit to be a leader unless he would rather be a follower instead of a leader. And that was something I was thinking about, is that to true leadership, you have to know how to follow first. If you cannot follow first, how can you lead people to follow? You know, in the teaching world, I had a friend, smartest person I've ever known probably, in teacher college. She straight A's. Every class she took, she had straight A's. And I remember we were sitting in one of our PE classes for university and how to teach PE. Because for some reason, even if I was teaching social studies, I had to learn how to teach PE. That was part of our the way we had to learn. And our professor looked at her and she said, "You need to not get an A in this class." And everyone was like, "That doesn't make sense." And she said, "You will be unhirable. No one will hire you if you are a 4.0 student." And we're like, "That doesn't make sense." And she goes, "Because when a principal looks at you and looks at your resume, even if you can understand, they will not believe it. That you will be able to understand a child who struggles. You will not be able to understand a child who struggles if you yourself did not struggle academically. And you will become the perfect teacher who cannot get hired." I don't know if she followed that advice. And honestly, she was an amazing teacher. So it wasn't exactly the best advice. But the heart is to understand those that you are leading, you need to be able to be put into their footsteps first. When choosing leaders, I don't think that we should be rushing into it. I think there's something about patiently waiting. I think Juhi remembers we were impatiently waiting as we were trying to pick a house church leader when I was leaving because nothing seemed to be working out for us. We were praying for like a year because we knew, about a year, not quite. But the level of responsibility when we become a leader is so high. You shouldn't desire it if you're not able to, well, none of us leaders are actually able to completely live up to the standard. We all fall, we all have issues. But the reality is the standard that Paul is putting out here for leadership is so incredibly high. Right? The first thing he talks about is your home life. If your home life is a mess, how can you also be a leader? If your children don't believe, if your relationship with your wife is not in a good place. Now, it might seem, for us, because it's illegal to have more than one wife, that doesn't necessarily apply. But how you treat your wife? Are you lusting after other women? You can reverse that and say, I mean, obviously, at this time, women never had more than one husband. It wouldn't need it to be even written in here. But we as women, do we have the same thing if we're married? Are we lusting? Do we desire, oh, this man is better than my husband? Or are we devoted to the man that we have committed ourselves to? Right? And that's the beginning signs. Do not get drunk. It's very simple, leaders. If you're not a leader in this room, but one day you might be, and these are things to remember. Do not get drunk. I don't know how many times it says it in the Bible, and yet, for some reason, we still have that issue in our church and other churches. I'm not blind to it. And the Bible's clear. Don't do it. We allow our bodies to give way. We allow our minds to not be focused when we get drunk. To be honest in our work, when we are doing things for selfish gain, and it translates into the church. You know, how many churches do you have a treasurer who steals money? Not this church. Not this church. But it happens. Or using the church for your own, not necessarily financial gain or prestigious gain, but using leadership to fulfill some sort of gap of insecurity. Those are things that you're doing leadership for the wrong reasons. A leader should be hospitable. Someone who, when you enter into their home, or SP is your home as well, they make you feel welcome. You want to be around them. There's something about them that draws you in instead of pushes you away. They love what is good. You know, I don't remember which verse it is in, but it talks about knowing the word, being so knowledgeable in it that you can also call out when people are going astray, right? You know what is good. You love what is good, but you also have the ability, when called to call out false truths. I remember one time, and I was not actually house church leader at the time. I had just joined my current house church maybe like 6 months previous, and both the leaders weren't able to be there. And we had a guest come that day, and it was the first house church of the season to top it off. And she said something, and so I was asked to lead. I was leading. I didn't introduce myself as Pastor Mary. I just introduced myself as Mary. And this lady said something, and it was so unbiblical. It was, I can't remember the exact words, but it was so unbiblical that I was like, you know, that's, I just did a question. I just like, so tell me why you believe that. And instantly, I'm not joking, she turned on me so fast, the entire house church was in shock and didn't know what to do. Like, she's just like, you know what? I've been told I don't need to listen to people like you. It's just me and God. Everyone else does not matter. I don't have to listen to your voices. You're making me uncomfortable. And she just took off. And like 2 weeks later, I was preaching on the pulpit and she was here. And then I think she realized who I was. But it was very interesting how that took place. But we have to be willing to have those kind of reactions, but doing it in a loving way. And I actually went to the house church afterwards, after she left. Tell me what I did wrong. Did I do? And they are like, no, you couldn't have done that in a more loving, kind way. Because you literally had just asked her a question. I didn't even tell her she was wrong. We need to be sensible in leadership. You know, I think oftentimes when we are in leadership or just in life, we can be quite, I don't know a better word to say than airy-fairy. We're just kind of out there. Like, here's a, but we need to be sensible in our decisions. We need to understand why we are making this. Leadership is not something one can be thrust into. It's rather something we need to cultivate and develop in people. We need to take time to cultivate leadership into people. We need to make it a priority. And some of you are sitting here like, well, I'm not in leadership at church. Do you serve in a ministry? Because in some sense, even if you're serving in a ministry, you're leading somebody. If you're at the barista bar and you are serving coffee and someone comes and asks you a question about our church, you're leading them into understanding what we're about. If you're a Noah's Ark teacher, you're obviously leading the kids, right? How you lead, how you cultivate leadership is one of the most important aspects, because that is how we carry on to the next generation. Peter Sukahara, if you guys remember, he was here last year. And then when we were in Israel, he came to us and he did about a 3-hour session with us. And one of the things he said to us was, good sons and daughters ask questions. Good sons and daughters ask questions because that is how you understand to carry on. You cannot become a leader if you do not ask questions to gain understanding on why things are done the way they are done. A good leader is allowing us to ask questions, asking us the whys. At some point, you have to stop asking why and just do, because otherwise we'll just be here talking all day. But you need to be able to think. You have to be using your brain, starting to let it cultivate and develop so that you understand what a true leader is. To place ourselves or others into that place of authority before they are ready can do more damage than good. We also have to be cautious, because here you see Paul talking about how people are appearing as if they are wise. Appearance, right? We can all make a mistake. We can all make a mistake. You know, and when R.T. Kendall met with the pastors last week, one of our members asked him, how can you tell if someone is good material for a spouse? And his answer was, you don't know. We're like, what? It's like, you honestly don't know. You may think, you may see, but you just got to pray really hard. And he also said the exact same thing about leadership. Sometimes you think you see all these potential, but you never know. In the end, you can't 100% know, which seems scary, but actually what he was trying to do was make us dwell into prayer more about it. He also said to us, pray that you don't fall in love with the wrong person. So that's just a side note. But I think pray that you don't choose the wrong leader. Pray that you don't choose the wrong leader. Another quote that I really liked was, "The authority by which Christian leaders lead is not power but love, not force but example, not coercion but reason persuasion. Leaders have power, but power is safe only in the hands of those who humble themselves to serve." If we really want to be a leader, or maybe you don't, because I've never really wanted it, but if you feel God is calling you into that place, it starts with serving. How did they identify a good potential leader? How do we identify sometimes? It's the ones who are willing to be faithful. The ones who you see picking up the trash. Simple things, picking up the trash. If you cannot humble yourself enough to tidy up after yourself at church, how can you lead people to do that? It seems so simple. To put the chairs back to the way you found them. To say hello to somebody as you're walking. That's my biggest weakness. But the reality is, humility and servanthood is what true leadership is. It's not to put yourself up on a pedestal. It's to get off that pedestal and wash the floor. That is true leadership. When your leaders stop doing that, there's a problem. And you need to pray for them fervently. If you see me stop doing it, you can call me out, some of you. If you don't really know me, please don't. But the reality is, that is true leadership. And it's something that's been on my heart for a while. Something that, you know, it may not be the person you think that God is calling into leadership. You know, for when I was first asked to be a house church leader, I don't know what year that was. Ashley, what year was that? 2011? Yeah, we don't know. We got asked the same year. I remember we were sitting at house church at one of our members' houses, and Karen Lau and John King were saying, "We need to multiply. So if any of you feel God calling you to lead, to be the next house church leader, come tell us." And instantly, I heard God say, like I've never heard him say before, "It's you." And instantly I said, "Not a chance." And then I said, "Only if they ask." And then they never asked for like 3 months, so I thought I was in the clear. But the reason why I didn't think I was qualified was I literally just met with the two of them having a breakdown because of something that was happening. I was not the obvious choice. And some of the people that I have chosen into leadership doesn't always seem like the obvious choice. And I don't know why God has put it, but as I watch them develop and cultivate them, you see that potential come out. So today I just want to have you guys just do some self-reflecting. And I know not all of you are in the same position. Not all of you are leaders currently. But you all lead in some way. And just ask God a couple questions. One, am I leading the way you want me to lead? And two, if I'm not leading in a leadership position yet, what do I need to do in my life to get prepared? Yes.
Giving you.
Can turn to our community prayers. Let's pray for those who are suffering from various cancers or going through chemo and radiation therapy. Let's pray for those who are suffering from illness but also need salvation. For those who are suffering from various infirmities, let's just pray for God to just bring His healing hand. Pray for those who are searching for jobs. Let's just pray that not only will God open doors, but that they will also know which doors have been opened by God, and let them just wait patiently in this time of in this season. Cover our mission focus. Let's pray for Japan and Peace Sophia, Cambodia Grace, and Oasis House of PG&E. Let's pray for Peace Sophia and Grace who are still in Hong Kong. Let's pray that God will use this time of rest just to give them more energy and strength as they head back next week to Japan and Cambodia. Pray for the Mission Council, PSAM, Janella, Janice, John, Jungman, Tim, Deborah, and just pray that God will bring them into a deep sense of unity, that they'll have wisdom and discernment on how to use the funds, and that we'll just be a church known for our missions. For our local outreach groups, Agape, Homie, SP Lights, Freedom, Bridge, and Recreation. Let's just pray that we will be just good servants in this city, just drawing people closer to God. Pray for our SP fam, foster and adoption ministry led by Cadence. Let's also lift up Leanne, Yen, and Anna as they have a little girl with them, a three-year-old girl. Let's just pray that they will just be able to love on her in the short time that she's with their family. And let's just continue to pray for more SP families to step up and just really fill the needs of those the kids who are in foster care. Lift up our Friday evening gatherings, IP, SPU, and SP Youth. Let's just pray that God's Spirit will just lead and guide each of these ministries. And let's just pray for their leaders, and let's just pray for a breakthrough in each of these ministries. Father God, we just thank you for today. We thank you for a chance just to step into your presence, Lord. We pray, Lord, that as we go on our day, God, that we will just be a light to those around us, Lord, that we can really just take each step that you call us to take. God, let us be a witness in all that we do, Lord, and we just ask for your wisdom and your strength for today, God. So, Lord, we thank you and we love you. In your name we pray, amen. Have a great prayer time.